B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Let's get back to some of your football thoughts before we get into some other items this hour here on the show. Greeny's in Milford. Greeny! We'll try someone else. We'll go back to Greeny in a minute. Adam in the car. Take it away. Adam.
Hey guys. Thanks.
What's up, man?
Not much. So I wanted to call about the Pats and try and see how their PR is doing with the quarterback situation. Like, they're in a very similar situation that they were in last year. And obviously, I think they're doing a little bit more leaks. They're trying to, you know, drum up good attention for Cam this time around. Do you think there's, like, some similarities and differences that you see from last year?
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. I mean, Brady has left. He's won a Super Bowl away from here. You spent a quarter of $1 billion in free agency, and you get fans coming back in the building. You got a lot of pressure. You got a lot of pressure to respond here. And your room is pretty much the same room as it was a year ago.
Brady winning that Super Bowl
has complicated things.
Right up their behinds in that building.
And don't you think it doesn't?
Like you wouldn't believe.
It's the worst thing that could happen.
Some very gracious public comments from the owner. No comments whatsoever from Bill Belichick because no one wanted to ask him, I guess. And I think everybody involved is irritated by it. What do you think? Think they're irritated by it?
I think they're raw assed. Yes.
Wow. Woo. Taking it to a new level there. So,
yeah. It's a big year.
It bothers them.
This is a big year.
But the spin on Cam Newton worries me.
It's a head scratcher.
That they feel like, we're hosed. We don't have many options, and we're going with Cam again. Why else? Why bother?
Well, the draft.
Why bother?
I think we need to give them time here.
Of course we do. You get the draft.
The draft is next week. And as you know, and Scott Pioli was tweeting out there yesterday, don't forget, we pulled off that second rounder for Corey Dett. Like, things will happen around the draft. I think things start to pick up because that's really where it's do or die. You know, you're going to cut bait or you're going to go all in. Remember, they got Randy Moss on a draft day trade. They pulled off some big ones before. Corey Dillon, Randy Moss. Randy didn't help win a championship, but they went undefeated with the damn guy. They lit it up. And then once you find out, did we not get maybe a guy we thought we could potentially get? Then you can readdress, you know, going after another trade. You could trade for another guy. You could still solve your problem. Is there any difference from last year? Do you see any difference from last year to this year as far as PR or pressure? Oh, my God. We're day one into the workouts. You just had two competing outlets glorifying the attendance of the quarterback yesterday. A quarterback, even though the other quarterback was there, and probably Jake Delagola was there too, I would assume.
We assume.
I mean, Brandon King's going to be there.
Jake
was going to be there.
Of course he was. Hardworking kid.
Let's talk to Greeny again. Greeny, you there?
Yeah, what's up, Zoe?
How you doing?
Good. I got this Cam Newton thing's killing me. Every time I hear it, I mean, I don't think he's got any chance of succeeding. I mean, look what's happened last year. Everybody's saying the pandemic and all this stuff. And he's out early working. That's his job. He's supposed to be doing that. And guys, fill me in. What do you actually think's the Garoppolo scenario? Is he coming here or is he not?
Right now, it seems like you got a stubborn San Francisco who needs to decide who the hell they're going to take at three first. And then maybe they could address that. San Francisco doesn't look like they're handling things very well right now.
Why is that?
Just, if you have the guy, you have the guy. And then you're not going to give up that type of collateral, get up to three and have the placeholder. Make sure you go and play good football until this guy's ready to go, and then we'll get rid of you.
I just don't know how
it's
you pay
an odd,
guy.
It's going to be an odd room. Trust me.
$25 million.
There's a lot of stress to play that position. You need to handle things the right way, and it's very delicate. It is. That's going to be a delicate situation in San Francisco. And you really want to F that up. You have the potential to F up your locker room.
Right. He's not really he's not an aging veteran.
Jimmy's
he's
not a
guy
jerk,
in the middle,
you know?
Middle of his talent. Career. Just signed a big contract there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, you know what? We've decided you're not the guy of the future, but we're going to pay you $25 million this year to still be here.
Yeah.
While we get the next guy ready.
Jimmy's not the one that didn't decide to call timeout at the end of the first half of the Super Bowl. Jimmy's not the one that decided to sit on it. Then he said, we're going to throw the bomb to the George Kittle. And oh my God, it worked, but they called him for a push-off. You know, Jimmy's not the one that all of a sudden started chucking it all over the lot in the fourth quarter with a big 10-point lead. Some of that falls on that coach. They got loose lips out there, too. I don't think it's a really well-run place out there. And I think they're scratching their heads of what the hell do we got to do.
Kevin,
but I think you could address it after the draft. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So Kevin's in the car. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
I was wondering,
Kevin.
They package a lot of players to bounce around in the draft. Who do you think could be in the rotation to be packaged? Do you think Stidham could be dumped at all? I'll let you talk.
For what?
He's not
What's
worth
the value?
He's not like, worth anything.
Plus, you got him at like low money here. Like, we just got done talking about you bring in guys in, like, second or fourth round. How much better are these guys going to be than Jared Stidham?
Who's calling and trading for a backup quarterback?
And a backup quarterback who couldn't beat out Cam Newton last year.
I mean, who's calling on that?
Who wants that guy?
They're saying you weren't – Bill liked you enough to draft you, and then you weren't good enough for Bill. Now I want you?
And to trade and move around, you need to give up something to get something. You give up a guy like J.C. Jackson.
Okay, working out under Bill Belichick is a kiss of death for a lot of players. That's where guys go – sometimes on their last chance. And if, you know, look at Tim Tebow. Bill Belichick can't get it to work. Nobody can. That's it. That was it. It's over. So that would apply to, I think, to a young player too. Oh, you weren't good enough to play for Bill. You had some of the best coaching in the league and you couldn't get on the field ahead of Cam Newton. I don't want you either. And who's looking at him to be a potential starting quarterback? They would only be
this
looking
then,
to
too,
trade
though.
As a developmental piece or a backup.
The hell's he still here for then?
No value.
I'm with you, Zoe.
If there's such dislike for the player, or you don't think he's worthy of getting in a game, then why did you dress him out as a backup to Tom Brady, the greatest to ever play? Why did you dress him out last year and Brian Hoyer never dressed out after Kansas City?
I have no idea if he's worthy. I'm just trusting
What's the
Bill.
Issue then?
In Bill,
then
I trust, Zoe. So. In Bill,
they see
we trust.
They see something in the kid, I'm telling you.
In Bill, we trust. Bill didn't trust him enough to play him last year, so in Bill, we trust. He must not be good.
And you get good in half a year. In year three.
Well, that
maybe that's the maturation point.
That I don't
that
know.
Type of player when you're drafted at that position.
Greg in Rhode Island. Hi, Greg.
Greg!
Greg! Wake up!
Hello?
What do you think he's doing?
Greg.
I'm awake. Can you hear me?
Are you?
Did you shout us on hold?
yeah, my bad.
What's going on?
So I'm a huge Giants fan living in New England area, former Marine, moved out here to the military.
Nice.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome. So when I think about what's going on, Matt Maneko said that John Lynch and Mike Shanahan actually split on the pick. So my thing is, I think Lynch probably wants an athletic quarterback and Shanahan wants, you know, Mac Jones. But they're trying to debate who's going, you know, what's going on with that pick between the two of them. But at the end of the day, Mac Mayo says Mike Shanahan's going to make that pick. So John Lynch is nothing but a figurehead because he's not even calling shots. So I think if they go with Mac Jones, I think New England has a great chance of getting Jimmy G. But if they go with, like, Trey Lance, I think you hold on to Jimmy G for a year as a placeholder. Like, yo, do the best you can. Try to get you a next big contract. You got a year to get us to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, and get paid afterwards. What do you guys think about that?
I just don't get the difference, Greg. That's all. What's the difference? You're drafting a quarterback number three. What does it matter who it is?
I find it hard to believe that they're split on the pick. Because you have to go back. They already know who they're picking there. Because it's set. Zach Wilson's gone pick two to the Jets. You're not going to give up three ones and a four to slide up 12-3.
You've got to like somebody enough.
We'll decide on draft day.
They have someone in mind.
They got their guy. We just don't know who the guy is.
Smoke screens. Zoe, you're so right. They don't move up that far if there's a battle internally over who they're taking with that pick.
They had to go to ownership and clear it through ownership. It's already in. The pick's in.
Yep.
They just publicly, I don't think, know how to handle this stuff. They're all new at this, so to speak.
Well, I mean, they haven't let it out of the bag yet, so that's
they're
going
a good young
well for
team,
them.
But yeah.
Devin in Taunton. Hi, Devin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Beetle, you know that soundbite where you're going, I feel like I've been talking about this for 10 years. That's exactly how I feel when we talk about Cam Newton. Oh, my God. I can't handle it anymore. He shows up to work. Congratulations. You did your job. At the end of the day, you know, what has he done?
He's leading the charge.
When he went to Carolina, he went to one Super Bowl, and he got smacked in the mouth by the Broncos defense. Oh, that's great. Thanks. You know, at the end of the day.
He's better than that. Now you're discrediting him as a player, which isn't fair. Like, we take him for what he is now. Cam's a fantastic player. Superman. In his prime. The guy could play. I witnessed it live. He was unstoppable.
It's been a few years, though.
It's been a few years. And time changes. Guys change. That's funny. Everybody criticizes and talks about the Brady cliff. And he's going to hit the cliff. Like, we are witnessing a guy that hit the cliff, sort of. But yet, nobody acknowledges it publicly. What are we doing here? We're still waiting for the Brady cliff. It ain't coming yet.
Mm. Not yet.
No.
Looks good. As you told us yesterday, it looks healthy.
Seems like they cleared that road out and tunnelized it, and they got a shorter path.
Yeah. Hey, McTakey, you watched the Celtics last night.
I did a little bit. Caught the very end of it.
Good broadcast, huh?
The very end of it.
Oh, boy.
And I was texted somebody from here. I said, what the hell is going on?
Right, I don't know. I hope I could do a game with, no offense, Bob Sosi, but Dave Ziegler this year. I'll do the play-by-play. Direct snap to Garoppolo.
Elliot Wolf, Matt Patricia going to come in, do it with you?
I do it, Matty P. Yeah.
Bring the Wolf in.
Me and Matty P, we're good.
Bring in the Wolf! Let's get to the Celtics last night and an email from a listener explaining something that we discussed yesterday about Brad Stevens talking about swerving. Someone has explained to us what the hell he meant by that. And Zoe, it's just going to make you appreciate where you live just a little bit more today.
Okay.
All right. We'll get to all that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is why you do the show. You take chances. You give takes. Sometimes they blow up in your face. You look like a complete idiot. We've all been there.
The pie in your face.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You got to tip your hat to the Bulls. They played well tonight. Billy Donovan's a good coach, and they play good defense.
Well, Danny, I want to thank you for joining us the entire game. I'm sure all the people back in Boston really enjoyed watching it. Did you have fun?
No, I did not have fun. No. I did not enjoy it.
I mean, at least we got a chance to catch up. We haven't caught up that much. Normally, I see you, I don't know, 40 times a year.
Well, we can go out to lunch to catch up. I did not enjoy that.
Needless to say, you did a great job, and you gave us some good insight, so we really do appreciate it. Now, we're going to take a break. We're going to wrap it up. Oh, hold on. We're going to go right to Vistaprint. Big play of the game brought to you by Vistaprint. And big play of the game is Tatum on the break over to Parker, and Parker throws it down.
What? Say it. What are you going to say? Say it.
Did they do the game from, like, Miami or something?
No.
What about, why did he refer to the people back in Boston? Play it again. Because I'm sure the people back in Boston appreciate it. Where'd they do the game from?
People watching.
But he said back in Boston.
They were playing at the Garden last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know why.
Were they not on site?
Were
they in another city?
I don't know.
Well, that's confusing.
I don't. You're right. I'm confused. You're confused. We're all confused. Well,
the people back at Gillette. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Danny, I want to thank you for joining us the entire game. I'm sure all the people back in Boston really enjoyed.
Oh, he got flustered. He got flustered.
Whatever.
He knew Danny was pissed. he knew Danny was pissed.
That feels like he was. That was. I don't think he was serious. Do you think he hated it?
No.
No, I don't think he did.
No, I think that's Danny's.
It's just being funny.
Danny's break. That's the way you hear Danny with TNR.
Busting like, chops. That's all that is.
It's condescending breaking chops, yeah.
If you want to catch up, we can go out to lunch. What would you rather
do?
We
go to Chipotle.
Go to lunch or do the game?
Do the game.
Do the game.
Yeah.
You'd rather do the game. You just want to go to lunch with him.
Danny would have declined doing it if he didn't want to do it or enjoy doing it.
Or he's just being a team player and he's helping out. There's a void there and he's filling the void on the broadcast. That was one thing last night. Have you ever seen a worse triple-double for a player than the one that Jason Tatum had last night?
Yeah, I'm not getting into this one.
Come on, get into it. I'm going to, you know, I'll do it for you.
You know what?
I'll do it for you today because it's so simple to do today.
Okay.
Okay? What was the story over the weekend about Jason Tatum?
His ability to take over the game and elevate everybody else around him.
And duel with another superstar in this league and win the duel.
Yeah.
So what happens after the
Golden
big...
Golden State is a Golden State, but it's still Curry versus you.
Right. After the big emotional, impactful performance of Jason Tatum.
I kind of expected this.
What does he follow that up with? Falling off a shelf with an emotional letdown. 3 of 17 from the field last night. Hit his free throws. Give him that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Hit his free throws. And... had 13 rebounds and 10 assists, which is good. I like the assist. That's we're looking at the assist statistics for the Celtics right now.
Well, box score.
How's the ball moving?
I get in my face box score.
How is it moving? Right? So that's what he did last night. That's how he followed up the duel. Do you know how Steph Curry followed his up last night in Philadelphia?
What did he do?
He went 14 of 28 from the field. He made 10 threes in his game. He scored 49 points. And he won 106-96. He bounced back with a win in a 49-point performance.
Without Marcus Smart.
And then did an interview after the game in his post-game interview saying he wasn't exactly pleased with how he played. That was Steph Curry last night. Just in case you're keeping tabs on what the superstars are doing in the league, the superstar guys, the true ones like the Currys, they bring it every single night. Every night.
Jimmy Butler.
They bring it every night.
Because they've been there and they've done that.
Like, you see it. You see it in Jimmy. Like, we watch Jimmy Butler play. And this is why, like, I'm hesitant with, like, Embiid and everybody says, oh, yeah, Embiid's a beast. Can't stop. Like, I don't see that killer look from him. You see it from Jimmy Butler. You see it from Steph. And it's the point that we've been talking about throughout the course of this sort of lackluster season, an underachieving season for whatever reason. I'm not going to get into it here because it's like the numbers are there. It's in your face. Stick to football. You know, look at the box score. That's Celtics fans.
I'm not upset with the Celtics losing last night, by the way. They got injuries. They've got illness. They got stuff going on.
It's going to happen. Scheduled loss.
But just checking in on Tatum. How'd you follow up that big performance with the worst triple-double in Celtics history?
Oh, 3 of 17.
3 of 17.
Hey, you're going to have bad nights. You're going to have a bad night.
Worst triple-double ever.
You're more upset about it than I am.
Oh, it's funny. Okay, I want to give you something that arrived in the email inbox after the show yesterday that you've got to hear.
I'm going to appreciate what you say. Huh.
This is from Ryan. And Ryan's got something for us. Ryan Stadelman has something for us. He said, I want to explain the swerving around people while driving comment from Brad Stevens, which we said yesterday, a month after he said it. What the hell was he even talking about? Swerving. Like, ooh, I swerve. Well, he's got an explanation for us. He says, I am originally from Mass, but I went to school in the Midwest. And while driving out here, I realized quickly everyone I was with freaked out when I went around someone to the right while they were waiting to turn left.
Oh, you mean in like the breakdown lane? Like,
no, just in an intersection. You come to an intersection, someone's taking a left.
Wait a minute.
you pass them on the right to go around them and continue through the intersection.
But you sort of go off the road a little bit to get around.
Sometimes you go a little bit into the shoulder over that white line, right?
Yeah.
But on a main road.
But there's a big road. There's a big gap.
Plenty of space there.
Yeah. If you've got the space, we all know where you can do it. We know where you can't. Easy enough. It's automatic.
He says people in the Midwest do not go around people who are waiting to take a left turn like we do. They wait until the person in front of them and the vehicle in front of them takes the left turn, and then they continue straight down the road.
I wonder how long they take to cook their grits. Too.
How many times do you get caught in a red light there? You must be waiting to get through intersections days. He says, whenever I would go around someone who was waiting to turn left, people would be like, what are you doing? And they would freak out, you know, probably hitting the horn, giving you the bird.
Yeah.
He says, I suspect this is what Brad was talking about. Best to you guys. Love the show. Ryan. What do you mean you don't go around the person?
So he swerves now.
You just sit there and wait?
He's a swerver. Yeah, they probably took horns out of their car.
How many minutes of your life do you think are wasted in the Midwest?
It must be horrible.
Three weeks.
I mean, that's days of your life by the time you're done in your driving lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
That you have wasted.
I got time for that.
Sitting behind someone like a lame duck at a green light. Not a red light, a green light. Light is green. They're waiting to take the left.
I swerve every
day. And you sit there waiting behind them?
Yeah.
Those folks have the time, though. Folks in the Midwest. What else are they going
to
do?
They're just waiting to get back.
Around other.
They're just waiting to get back to their corn.
You're living in Indiana? Like, where are you in a rush to go? Let's be real here. I'll tell you, I've spent some time in the Midwest, and I 1,000% believe this. That is absolutely how it would work there.
What a bunch of tool bags. Learn how to drive. I couldn't live there. I couldn't do that.
The speed limit on the highway, though, is like 80.
Straight line. Everyone stay in front of each other, back of each other. No passing. Apparently, they don't like passing. So that's why they raised that speed limit.
Who's that weirdo cop?
I swerve around others.
They don't like swerving.
Where's that weirdo cop from that like to eat the hair and smell the hair?
He was from Missouri.
Oh, that's Kansas City. That's right. Aren't they the same, too?
It was like, actually Kansas, I think.
Straight roads. Like, they just, yeah. Tom's right, it's high speed. But when you stop, you stop.
Man, oh, man. How terrible. No swerving. Couldn't live there.
Swerver now.
Be thankful for where you live.
Pats fan? Eats Dunkin' Donuts?
Swerves?
Masshole.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I swerve around others when I'm driving.
Boy. Hey, guess what, Zoe? People are consuming a lot of baseball early on in the season. Much better than last year in Major League Baseball. And one local writer has suggested the Red Sox are saving baseball. Zoe's already stunned. I'll explain for you coming up after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ground ball to shortstop. Kim will go to first. The San Diego Padres get their first no-hitter in the history of the franchise. And it belongs to San Diego's own Joe Musgrove. Sending the Friar faithful into a frenzy.
News release from Major League Baseball. McTakey, listen up. You're a baseball guy. Enjoy this. MLB.TV registered record streaming numbers and had its most watched period in its history. More than 1.34 billion minutes of live games were watched through the first three weekends of the season on MLB.TV. Now, Major League Baseball is attributing this to close games, exciting star performances, surprising starts, and two no-hitters to begin the season. That they are having the record streaming numbers, the most watched 18-day period in the 20-season history of MLB.TV. If you don't know what that is MLB's online streaming package that you could buy to watch your team out of market online. So if you're in Boston and you buy MLB.TV, you can watch legally other games from other markets. Or if you make a few tweaks, you can watch the Red Sox through there too. But that's what they've got. Why so much baseball? What's going on? Do you think it's all the things that baseball claims it is?
I think it's part of it. To be honest, I think baseball's had the best start to a season in recent memory. I also think there's some pent-up demand for baseball, too, because it doesn't really feel like there was a baseball season last year. So you combine that with, you know, the new age where people are streaming now more than ever before. I think a bit of a pent-up demand for the sport. And at least in my opinion, but, you know, and I'm kind of in the weeds on this, guys, because, I mean, I love baseball. I think this has been the best start to a season baseball's had in, I don't even know how long. I've been as engaged on the sport in the last 2 weeks as I've been in quite some time. I don't know if the casual average fan feels that way, but I know I feel that way as somebody who engages on the sport probably more than the average person. It's been awesome. It's been great. It's been just an incredible start to the season for the reasons you mentioned.
I just think last year was such a disaster. I really do. And I just think that, you know, hey, okay, Dodgers win, right? We get that. Did it really feel like a baseball season?
I'm sorry.
It was so bad around here.
He was saying what you had said. Did last year feel like a baseball season?
No way. And I just think that it feels normal. It feels more normal. Like it's a regular start. You had spring training.
I think with the clip that T-Bone played
off last year
was appropriate too. You have a really good young team in the Padres with some real superstar talent on it. And they played the defending champs and another team with superstar talent. And I imagine that series got a lot of eyeballs from out of town. That was a great series.
It was awesome.
Troy Dorsillo called it.
It had a real competitive feel to it. And it had regular season action that felt like it had a playoff intensity to it. You don't get that a lot in baseball. You don't.
You've just had a lot of things like that this season, Mark, that people would tune into. You know, when Rodon was going for the perfect game, people were tuning in. When Musgrove was going for the no-hitter, the first in Padres history, people were tuning in. Ohtani on Sunday Night Baseball.
Babe Ruth.
Your guy, the Japanese Babe Ruth. There have been so many things that I feel like draw the casual fan in to say, I'm going to, you know, check this out for, you know, a little bit tonight. It's been the best start to a season I can remember in quite some time.
Are we more drawn in, though, because the Red Sox are good?
We are. I think we are.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the case. And it doesn't feel like it's strikeout or a home run. Like you're moving the ball's in play. You're scoring runs. You got runners on base.
John Tomasi has
the seven inning doubleheader is helped.
The extra inning rule helps.
Do we have a John Tomasi mention streak going here? It feels like we're mentioning something from him almost every day right now. But he writes, in the process of getting out to a good start, the Red Sox have improved their baseball best batting average to .288, more than 50 points above and higher than what is currently the all-time low league average of .233. They're scoring runs in a time warp, Tomasi writes, stringing together line drives and walks, hitting the ball the other way, and keeping the line moving. It's a far more entertaining product than the three boring outcomes sludgefest that baseball has become. And it raises a tantalizing possibility. Could the Red Sox and their throwback approach inspire enough copycats to start leading the game out of the darkness? Quote, "We bang," said outfielder Alex Verdugo recently, and do they ever.
You bang.
You bang.
What do you think? Can they save baseball?
By themselves? No.
I doubt it.
No way. Baseball needs to save themselves. But the whole sport needs to save itself.
Check in every month.
Let's go back to what we were talking about.
See if they're scoring runs every single night.
How about saving yourself locally? Saving yourself with Red Sox fans right now.
They're doing that right now.
I feel like they're doing it.
They're doing that right now.
I think without a doubt.
A dreadful first three games for the Red Sox has really turned into something quite different a few weeks later.
Yeah, you drop two on Sunday. you know, back-to-backers, and you respond well yesterday, right out of the gate. You got down early in that game, but still you hung in there, and you had a flurry of runs, knocked out one of the better pitchers in the game.
This team grinds
it out,
man.
They bounce back.
They grind it out.
They bounce back, yeah.
They give you something to watch every single day. I mean, to your point, Zoe, you drop two. You're like, okay, they could, you know,
oh,
lose
crap.
Three
Here
out of four.
Go. Yep.
Giolito's going tomorrow. What do? They beat the tar out of Giolito yesterday.
And they left him in.
Oh, they left him out
they
to rot,
hang.
Right?
Yeah, I like that, though. Hey, the line of bed you make.
I do like the old school thing with La Russa there, too. You feel like he's just going to let pitchers rot. You know, yeah. He's going to let pitchers
not
pitch.
Not his day. He wasn't ready to go. Yeah. So, F you. Get a couple more innings. Yep. I'm not going to burn my bullpen.
Two position players pitched in that game.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of that, it feels like.
Yes, and they've all been fat guys, which has been great. You see that fat guy in Minnesota pitching? Astudillo? That guy's 40, amazing.
46-mile-an-hour pitch?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Guy's like 5 foot
to
two.
Register.
Again, and this
300
is 300
pounds.
Is
he's
crazy.
Amazing.
If you had asked me a year ago or 2 years ago, did you see the big fella from Minnesota throwing a 46-mile-an-hour pitch? I don't think that answer would be yes, so I count myself in the group of people watching more baseball out of the gate.
That's good. That's good for the sport. That's something they need around here, especially.
And despite Fernando Tatis's slow start, I just feel like baseball's superstar problem might be coming around.
Is he Acuna?
I mean, he is off to a great start, and he is a ridiculous talent. And I don't know, between there's some young players that I look at and say this could be the guys that solve the personality problem in this sport. Because Mike Trout's not fixing it. Sorry, he isn't. People don't care about Mike Trout. It's been proven.
He shoot from Vision Quest. Just a stud. Not going to wow you.
You need people with flair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And Acuna's got that. Tatis has
that. Tatis has that. Otani
Soto.
Has this element
Soto, yep.
That you're just like, wow, this guy is. I'm enamored with Otani. I just am.
You should be.
I just am.
He's the man.
Babe Ruth. I call him Babe Ruth, like, half jokingly. The guy is so ridiculously talented at doing both things that I've never seen a guy like this. I know they've existed before, but not recently. Not
yeah,
like
yeah,
this.
And the Yankees have the stars, and it's just they're not playing. They're not playing well. They get the big names. They're not playing well. And it's like the perfect storm right
but
now.
But those guys, I'm sorry, their guys are boring too.
They are.
Stanton and Judge, those
Judge
guys
isn't boring.
Are freaking boring.
Judge is boring.
Judge has teeth.
He
fixed.
Is. He's boring.
He's boring. He's absolutely boring.
He came onto the scene and was a big deal and was like, oh, Paul Bunyan with a baseball bat. That wore off.
I just like seeing him next to a little player, stand next to little players on base. I get a kick out of it.
People, right. He's built like an NFL tight end.
Yeah.
And you know what? He kind of hits like one too. He's not that good. He's
Ooh,
overrated.
There we go. I'm taking it.
He's like Kike Hernandez. Not that good at baseball.
Yeah, 6'7". Kike Hernandez.
Are we standing by that? By the way.
Oh no, I'm standing
yesterday?
By it.
I am too.
I'm standing by it.
Was that really a home run?
Was that really a home run?
Standing by that. I'm not coming off that take.
Hit
Sorry,
the front
guys.
Edge of that. I know it's the rule, but
coming off it. Let's get to your calls, your thoughts on all this baseball season, Patriots draft items, the Celtics last night, swerving. Also, Massachusetts has been voted the snobbiest state in the union. You know that?
I saw
snobby?
That.
Are we snobby? I don't think we're. I think we're misunderstood.
We are. There's a combination there.
All right, that's
I think
on
these
the
people need to shut up.
Yeah, I think they need to shut up.
Yeah.
More on that is coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Matt. Right now, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wonder. What do you think Hardy's doing this week?
Beats the hell out of me. Relaxing, not thinking about this place, not thinking about us.
Yeah, he thinks about everything. He's a worrywart.
He's thinking about it.
He's thinking about it.
He misses it.
What kind of touch are we missing here this week without him?
A female's T-bone. Touch.
A feminine touch?
Cranky old woman's touch.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Aunt Edna. T-Bone was all over him.
He really did. He was crushing him.
Like, rename him Roberta instead of Rob.
Is he still doing the golf show this week? That's what I want to know, T-Bone.
I heard he had Ainge on.
He did.
That's awesome.
He did. Ainge has been doing a lot of broadcasting this week with Hardy, with Scal.
Making his rounds.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know, man. You have to ask Danny Ainge.
Mm.
Do you think Massachusetts is snobby?
It depends what your definition of snobby is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't agree with this definition,
snobby,
whatever it is.
Snobby means like, I'm better than you. I'm highfalutin. To me, that's what snobby is. Like, I look down upon you. This is a really, you got a pretty good mixed bag here.
According to the website Zippia.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Zippia.
Zippia.
That's they a have, snobby comment
they,
right
I'm
there.
Right.
Yeah. maybe you're right.
Let me read from Zippia's list of how they determined it. They ranked each state in four areas. Percent of population with a bachelor's degree.
What?
So having a bachelor's degree makes you snobby.
You being educated makes you snobby. Sorry.
The percent of degree earners with a degree in arts and humanities. Number of Ivy League colleges. And gallons of wine consumed yearly.
I disagree with that. I don't think we drink a lot of wine here. I think we consume a lot of beer and alcohol here.
So wait, number of Ivy League colleges, not
that's
Ivy League college graduates.
No, the number of colleges present in your state.
That's a list that sticks in your ear. That's the one. That's it. Just because freaking Harvard's right there in Cambridge.
Right, so it's just
MIT.
New England.
Right.
It's New England, New York, and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. That's it.
I don't know if they've ever seen a map of the Ivy League, but it's small. As you just heard, McTakey outlined for you.
Like, there's, do we get included states. With Dartmouth?
There's seven states with an Ivy League school.
Yeah.
So that seems a little unfair. That seems like that is weighing on these rankings in an unfair manner.
You know, if you went to an Ivy League college, you wouldn't construct the study like that.
So, because you'd be smarter.
Right.
You moron. Number one is Massachusetts. Adults with a college diploma is 42.9%. Degree holders with an arts or humanities degree, 24%. Wine bottles per person a year. They've got it at 21.
That makes sense.
21. It says, how do you tell someone went to Harvard? You don't. But trust me, they'll tell you. No, that's Boston College.
That's Syracuse.
You want to put in there.
See, that's not being snobby. That's being like that's being a jackass.
It says, in addition to being home to a prestigiously smug university. Agreed. Harvard, without a doubt. Massachusetts is ridiculously more educated than the rest of the country and has a strong appreciation for wine.
Oh, is it?
Sounds like a perfect breeding ground for snobbiness and wine and cheese crowds.
What about like me, Mark Machina callers? Is that snobby?
No, because a snob is a person with an exaggerated respect for high social position or wealth who seeks to associate with social superiors and dislikes people or activities regarded as lower class. So no, that would not be snobbish, Zoe.
I can get caught up in that wine and cheese crowd.
I just don't understand the rankings here. It's all over the news today. Because you are college educated and drink wine, you are therefore a snob. I just don't know how they're drawing that line.
How about if you
from
wear
point
shorts
A to
today?
Point B?
Like if I break your balls for wearing shorts today, is that snobby?
No, it's maybe rude, but it's not snobby. Right.
I'd say it's the exact opposite. I'd say that's more low class, though, instead of high class.
Because I would say Connecticut and New York should absolutely be ahead of Massachusetts on this list. And
West Virginia.
Vermont should be nowhere near the top of the list, and they're number two. Bad list.
A horrible list.
Look how nice it is living in West Virginia, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Alabama. Classy.
Nice the armpits people. Of America
real
right
nice.
There. Look
get
at that.
You something real nice.
Hmm.
Vermont? Snobby? You ever been to Vermont?
Yeah, I have.
Just a bunch of hillbilly hippies.
It's definitely
that's
not
all it
snobby.
Is. Not snobby at all.
That 42% of the adult population have a college diploma. Yeah. That's pretty. That's really good.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Highest just in the country.
Roger's got property up in Vermont. Like, you ever been up to Vermont? Like, I was talking solar with him. Like, you, just because you get solar and you live in Vermont, you're just like out of the sticks. Like,
Connecticut.
You,
oh, I'm sorry.
A lot of snow. You don't want to go down. That's not snobby.
I'm looking at the list. Maryland is number two at 39%. New Jersey and Connecticut are both 38%.
It's just metro areas. That's all it is.
Yeah. Smart people.
It's all around D.C. Yeah.
I mean, do we believe that we are smarter than the rest of the world? Yes, we do.
Well, that's because we are.
Yeah, because everyone else is a moron.
We set the tone.
Yeah.
We invented the damn place.
It's our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we set the tone, 10 to 2.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that snobby. I just call that an acknowledgement of the facts.
It's called that doing your job.
That's true. We invented America. Suck on that.
But Jerry, when you woke up today, like, what made you, like, did you reach in a drawer and get shorts? You just said,
it's
hey,
on the phone. He's screening the calls. Just let him be.
He said it's going to be 70.
So when you walked outside, it wasn't chilly this morning.
It's going to be 70 today?
You do know that. Yeah, 72. 72, 73.
68.
It's a pick of the week.
There was a chill in the air this morning.
It's a pick of the week today, and this guy kid wore shorts. That's different when, like, you're in the summer and you wake up and it's like
65. I did not sense that it was going to be 70 today.
You didn't feel like it early this morning.
I didn't get that.
I actually had to get up
and
turn the heat on this morning.
Yeah, it's a little chilly out there.
I said, that's not snobby. That's just being a real guy. Boo, chilly. Had my coffee in a cold living room.
Yeah, I'm one of these early risers now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pearly day, too. Yeah, take a leak at like 6. I'm like, I'm not going back to bed. Make some coffee.
Good for you.
Like that Folgers commercial. When
good.
Crack that can open, like the smell of the morning.
Great update, though. Thanks. Da. Really made our day.
Folgers in your cup.
That was snobby.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I don't drink Folgers. Get the good stuff.
What? Yeah, that's too low class for you.
What's the good stuff?
Oh, I get Starbucks dark roast. Oh,
that's snobby right there.
That's when it like permeates these, the whole house.
One of these Pike Place a-holes, huh?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that. I want a good.
You would go for something like that.
Why?
Don't bring that Starbucks garbage into my house.
Well, we have Dunk, too. We do both. But like for the stuff we have at home.
People don't do both.
Well, I don't get a cup of coffee on the way in. Like if I was getting a cup of coffee on the way in, I get Dunk. But when I make it at home, I make Starbucks.
I'm also lying. Because you know what? I think there is a bag of Starbucks coffee on the counter.
Starbucks is pretty good.
I'm strictly a Dunkin' guy.
I don't like.
I am loyal
you know
to
what
the Dunkin' brand.
I don't like the Dunkin' at home.
Well, why?
Because I don't know. Like
maybe your coffee maker sucks. Have you thought about that?
I don't know. I think it's.
You know who got a new coffee maker and it's unbelievable.
Hardy. But his isn't really a coffee maker. It's an espresso. Oh,
it's both. It does it all. How much? It's an all-in-one. I don't know, but it's nice.
See, what, do you guys have coffee together?
He's made me an espresso. It was delicious.
Metro weirdos, man. I told you I could do that.
I went to
Italy when we were in Chicago.
Do you like espresso? Do you like espresso, T-Bone?
Yeah.
Then you would love this machine.
Maybe I'll get invited over one time.
Two glasses of rosé and like three espressos.
Next time
and
you I need was some like, furniture move.
Liquid lunch, baby. It was great.
Liquid lunch with espresso. That's a new one.
Three espressos and two rosés. And I'm like, this place is classy.
It's an interesting combo.
But I like the
what happened later on in the day when you burned a hole through your esophagus?
I like the little cup. A little cup is
you
cute.
You like
the,
you stick the out your pinky?
Yeah, with the foam.
You stick your pinky out? Well, you're from Massachusetts now, so.
Now you got back snobby.
Where's Pennsylvania on this list before we get to headlines?
Right in the middle of the pack.
Ah, waste of time. All right, headlines. We're right back in 90 seconds. We'll take your calls. Sit tight. Right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.